I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go! Go.
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP43926-7V1.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollack. Today is May 16th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Taj Bradley, 5 innings of 200 runs for its 1 walk and 6 strikeouts yesterday. He did well in his second straight start, and I'm not as impressed. The first start, I think that was one of the better outings I've seen from Taj Bradley, including all last year. I mean, it was his first start of the year. This one was more of the chaos. And I'm glad this worked against the Red Sox. We saw some good splitters in there. We saw some really nice cutters. But we also saw some fastballs that weren't near the zone. There were some that were in the zone, but not that great. I wasn't a huge fan of the overall approach and journey to get through those 5 innings. I could be very wrong here. It could be something that Taj Bradley is, in fact, doing better and he's being trusted more and so on and so forth. As of right now, I'm totally not sold that Taj Bradley has figured new things out here that has made him more of a consistent arm. It is a high IVB four-seamer. It's at 95. That's why he's, you know, considered solid with his fastball. It's still not a good attack angle, and extension's pretty mediocre. But those two things combined with a cutter that hopefully is better inside the zone and also splitter and curve hopefully work, but it just feels difficult for him to really execute still every single pitch and every single at bat. Framber Valdez against the Athletics, 7 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 8 Ks. And I don't know if you know this, I mentioned it before, but Jason Collette and I have a whole battle about Framber Valdez versus Cole Reagans. There's a long thing about it during our first pitch Florida. And every single start we send each other. If Framber Valdez does poorly, I send it to him. If Reagans does well, I send it to him and vice versa. So of course I got a text from him about Framber Valdez. It was awesome, except that his curveball was a sub 50% strikeout. It was like right at 50%, and he's not throwing cutters or sliders. And what? I mean, it worked. I'm just super happy. His changeup was really good. But like, Framber Valdez to me is just always, I don't know. Is he an ace? I think so, but is he? He's right at that border of it. But then again, if like Logan Webb is, then I guess Framber Valdez isn't. Speaking of which, Logan Webb, 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks against the Dodgers. I was kind of out on this one because I was like, yeah, the changeup isn't doing well. And guess what? This is wild. When you think of Logan Webb, what do you think of? Sinker, cold strikes. Fine. But you know, really, what's the thing? It's changeups. The guy threw like 60 of them in multiple games last year. Like 60 individual, not 60%. 60 individual changeups in multiple games last year. And it was his fourth most thrown pitch, his least thrown out of 4 offerings. What? Logan Webb was throwing 4 seamers more than changeups. in sliders and sinkers more than changeups. He only threw 15 of them in this game. And he did well. I think it's because the Dodgers game plan for that low changeup. And so what did Webb do? He threw high sinkers. He threw sweepers just inside the zone. And he threw really high out of the zone four seamers. So, you know, it was like 6% CSW on that four seamer with a near 50% strike rate. It's like 52 or something like that. I mean, this was a Toby to me. This was a guy that just made it work because the guys were sitting on the changeup. I mean, he still threw it and it was fine. 15 of them, but like, what? I appreciate it with Webb. He needed to surprise the Dodgers, I think. And maybe he listened to me and Eno talk about, or me and Eric Samulski talk about, like, how weird the changeup is with with him, and then said, yeah, you know what? Maybe I should just stop doing this for a second and then come back and maybe make myself a little bit different. I don't know. Crazy. But this version of Webb is not an ace. But Nick, he went 0-1, 6-0 against the Dodgers. Yeah, because it was a surprise, right? His changeup is his best pitch. And Logan Webb can't be that guy without throwing that changeup. It's six innings on 103 pitches. You go, Nick, that's great. Normally when Webb throws like 100 pitches, it's seven, right? Because he gets outs on that changeup. And he didn't have it, and there you go. It's going to be that six. So just think about that with Logan Webb. If you want to sell high at this point, I might consider it because, I mean, I expect him to go back to the changeup in the next start for Logan Webb, but yeah, it's still not fixed, right? This was a weird, weird game. John Gray against the Guardians. It's kind of nuts how good his ratios are this year. 6.1 innings of 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. And John Gray, it's a 2.15 ERA across 50 innings, but it's a 1.21 whip. 23% K rate. Guess how many home runs he's led? I think it's one. He's always been a 1 to 1.5 homer per nine guy. Like 120, 126, 127 in those last 3 years. Now it's 0.35. We know that's going to change. The slider's good. Four seamer is not. It's not ideal. So for John Gray, I'm glad this one worked out, but yeah, and by the way, it's actually a 208 ERA and a 117 whip. So, absolutely weird. And if you want to Vargas rule, by all means, he gets the Phillies next. So I don't want to do that, John Gray. Marcus Stroman had a slider and cutter working against the Twins, and that worked out in Stroman ways. That's fine. Austin Gomber, it's weird. Just like Kyle Quantrill, four of his last five starts have been one run or fewer now, as he went 0 runs in 6 innings on the road in San Diego. And I was like, okay, so what's he doing? Yeah, nothing interesting. Sorry. I really feel like there's sometimes with these guys where it's just, all right, we just throw enough strikes and think good things happen. 7 whiffs, 27% CSW. Like, this is not really something that's just stick. Javier Assad. Guys, I don't know if you know, but I brought back the pitcher video breakdowns onto YouTube. I'm doing them every day. I'm going to try to, because we have the wonderful Josh Sperry helping us out as our video editor now. And I'm so excited for this. So join the morning stream, playback.tv/pitchless. You'll have influence of who we watch. Also, inside the comments of those videos, I will be taking those in. Josh and I will be looking at them and saying, cool, these are the guys that we want to plan out, because people keep requesting them. And we can even like post, we'll do one of those like slapping on all the comments that request it. So we'll do it. But yeah, Javier Assad is the one who's going to do it today, because this is ridiculous. He went against Atlanta, got the win, 6 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. He is a Vargas rule, okay? And this was the Atlanta. I made him questionable, do not start, because he's a Vargas rule. And the rule says you keep going until he hits the wall. And he didn't hit the wall. What is he doing? It's honestly like these sinkers just aren't getting hit inside the zone. I really don't know what else to say. I'm going to watch as much as I can with the crew on playback today and put it on YouTube. It might be like a 30-minute video or something. I'm just going to watch this entire game and talk about how this happened, because what the heck, right? Javier Assad is not a legitimate ace through the year. This is a Vargas rule. It's going to come back down to earth. But yeah, keep rolling with it. You do you. I get it. Like, this is what the Vargas rule is all about. Trevor Rogers finally had that good start against the Tigers. Props to him. Got the gold star for it. 5 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. Didn't give it to Gomber because honestly, this is shocking. He didn't handle the Athletics and not the Marlins. He's the Marlins. Another terrible team. Like, he finally did this Pirates, I think. He was doing the same thing, like the Blake Snell blueprint upstairs with the four seamers. And he actually had a little bit more chaos with the slider, but it worked out. Changeup was good. I mean, I don't really think that we should lean into Trevor Rogers yet. We got to make sure that he can do this after more than one start. Garrett Crochet was great against the Nationals. He's still doing fastball cutter. He threw 14 changeups for a 21% strike rate. Three were strikes. That is not okay. Absolutely not. One for five slider strikes. And like, I want him to be that four pitch arm that we can really trust. And this was six base runners in five innings and just six strikeouts. But he's not there. It's fastball cutter right now. The fastball's great. He throws it super hard with amazing extension. You gotta, you know, I'm still holding on to Crochet and everything, and it's totally possible. But as long as those things are not there, then yeah, they're not there. And he's going to be a little bit more of cherry bomb-esque moving forward. Ranger Suarez is continuing his Vargas rule. Five innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. Got a win. But like, you see that line, 22% CSW, and you go, oh yeah, right. That's kind of more what you expect. Not this currently like top 10 pitcher in the majors, right? There's a lot of questions I'm getting about Ranger Suarez, and you realize it's May 16th. It is what, 6 weeks into the season, and the season's about like 26 weeks. Like, it's about a quarter of the season, not even 20% or something. Something like that. I don't know. My point of the matter, let's say it's 25%. Is I'm so happy Suarez has done this for 25% of it. The heavy majority of the season is ahead. And look, we can go backwards and say, great, this guy who's been this way for 25% of the season is going to be that way for the next 75%. That's not how it works. So I'm thinking about ahead, and I'm thinking like, I have Ranger Suarez at 40 because there's so many like legitimate strikeout guys who have more of a history of this ahead, or like has the clear skills. While Suarez, yeah, you're probably closer to this, and he gets the Rangers next. This was also like way worse command than we had seen. And Vargas rules are traditionally surrounded around guys that are executing their pitches beautifully. And anyone in the majors as a starting pitcher who actually hits their spots is a major leaguer for a reason. It's because when they hit their spots, they actually get out and do well. So Ranger Suarez is not doing that. Puts the Mets getting away with one a bit here. Now I guess the Rangers, I'm a little scared. You're going to do it, but I'm a little scared. We got a lot of other guys to talk about. Brandon Fott, Abbott, Canning, Houck, etc., etc. King and I there, and we're going to talk about all of that after this break.
For those who embrace the impossible, the Defender 110 is up for the adventure. This iconic vehicle has been redefined with a modern design that lets you go further and do more. The exterior is reimagined with compelling proportions and precise detailing, complemented by an interior built with integrity. The Defender capability is legendary. Whether you're facing off-road challenges or harsh weather conditions, its durability has been tested to the extreme. Powerful innovations like the intuitive driver display and award-winning infotainment system keep you connected. Innovative camera technologies deliver unobstructed views and effortless maneuvering. And robust cargo capacity means more room for your gear. Ready for a wide range of adventures, the Defender family features the two-door Defender 90, the Defender 110, and the Defender 130, which seats up to 8. To drive the Defender is to explore with greater confidence. Push what's possible with a vehicle made to go further. The Defender 110. Learn more at LandRoverUSA.com/Defender.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, go, go!
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com, CP43-9267-V1.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Brandon fought 7 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 9 strikeouts. Love to see it. Super high CSW on CSW on the sweeper, and then 4-seamer earned called strikes, and there's your ball game. Yeah, I don't know if 9 strikeouts are sustainable with 8 whiffs. It's not a good heater. He does not have a secondary I trust. I mean, the changeup he doesn't really trust. He's a Toby. I'm glad that he has these bursts. That's nice. But I don't think that Brandon Faught is this guy. I mean, it's been like, what, 2 starts of 21 Ks in the last 3? Something like that. That's nice. He gets the Dodgers next and then the Philly. Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm just not. You can just put him on the wire. It's okay. Andrew Abbott against the Arizona Diamondbacks did well. He didn't do well against the Giants last time. Did well in this one. 23% swing strike rate with the changeup. That's really good to see. He did have a little bit of ride at command. It was a little bit more in the zone and hittable than I would like. He does get the Padres and Dodgers next. Andrew Abbott, I don't feel like you need to hold on to for that. Griffin Canning got the CSW of 33%. That's a King Cole for this night. Yeah, it was that kind of night. No one really had a great CSW. It's just not... So, good stuff against the Cardinals. That's a streaming victory for those that went after that one. Awesome stuff. I had Casey Mize, and Casey Mize did 6 innings of 2 earned runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. Did really well against the Miami Marlins. Fastball was worse. 7 feet of extension, great, but less vert, like a dramatic amount of vert that is bad now. 93.7, and we're supposed to see 95 to 96 on that fastball, and his attack angle was not as good. Like, this isn't good from Casey Mize. I'm kind of out at the moment. He gets the Royals and the Jays, and I don't feel like we need to hold on to this. I know this is right after him having his best start, but it was the Marlins. So, I know it sounds big brain, but, like, maybe the fastball comes back or so if you want to try for one more start against the Royals, but if that one isn't there either, then I'm definitely out. Tanner Houck against the Rays did normal Houck things, lots of sliders over the plate. Splitter and sinker were good, and there's your ball game. Good stuff there. We're still holding on to Houck. It's 112 pitches, though, for 5.2 innings. Keep that in mind of, like, he doesn't put away guys. He doesn't, like, execute that right pitch all the time. And it does bother me a bit because the slider's just a little bit, like, here you go. And then everything else is like, oh, I got to go right around the edge. And, like, I feel like there's a middle ground between those. But he's doing his thing. It's fine. It's obviously helping our fantasy teams. And it's probably going to stick like that. Brian Wu against the Royals. 5.1 innings of 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. So glad that Wu did this. And then there's the delay going into the 6th inning with the umpire getting hurt. And, you know, obviously understandable. It did seem to mess up Wu. So, that's kind of how this got a little bit worse for him. But he still has the flattest height-adjusted VAA of any starting pitcher in the majors. 1.9, which is absolutely bonkers. Like, him and Joe Ryan are up there. It's pretty cool. So if you think of Brian Wood like Joe Ryan, that's pretty much how I feel about this. And there's also some upside, I think, with Wu developing something a little bit better with his secondary. So, and better sinker, too. Alec Marsh is a very interesting one against the Mariners. 17 whiffs for a gallows pull, believe it or not. Alec Marsh. 5 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. So how did he do that? Mostly, it's the 4-seamer. 9 whiffs on that 4-seamer. Super well spotted upstairs. I mean, really, you take the top of the zone, you just line it up with red, because that's what Alec Marsh did with us, and it worked. That's awesome. That is a bit of a Vargas rule, because that's a guy feeling locations, and that's why it worked. He gets the Tigers next. I'm in. Sign me up for Alec Marsh there. He's done this before. That sounds pretty cool. We saw it last year with 11 strikeout game. Remember, that was the same day as Cole Reagans went, and everyone cared about the Alec Marsh one, and then he came back down to earth. So, it's not a slam dunk, but, like, Tigers, you see if this can continue on. If it can, that's great. Higher floor, that's a good kind of situation. Robert Gassard against the Pirates got the win. 5 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. So, blame it on the Pirates, because I think that Gassard pitched terribly. But, hey, this is why we go for the poor matchups, because the floor is higher. And there was a lot of things just like, here you go, hit this. And they didn't. And now he gets the Marlins. So fine, we're going to keep holding on to Gasser. Yusei Kikuchi is dope and makes us feel dope. And I know it was 4.1 innings. It was against Baltimore as a lefty. As a lefty. The Orioles destroy lefties. 4.1 innings of 1 earned run, 6 hits, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. 88 pitches. It's a little annoying that he didn't go the full 5. He wouldn't have gotten the win anyway. Allie Rutschman hit a 2-run shot to win it in the 9th. But, he's really good. It's the approach that we like. It's 4-seamers getting strikes down. The strike rate of it is way up on that 4-seamer. And the curveball is getting strikes too. And the slider is there. And not actually as impressive as we saw a bit last year. But the fact that Kikuchi is now realizing that his four-seamer is so good in the zone, because honestly, it's Fantastic Four that is the velocity, extension, HAVAA, and IVB are all above average, if not elite, for how flat it is and his extension. It is awesome. So I'm a huge fan of that fastball, and I love that it gets both the slider and the curveball for strikes. Kikuchi is incredible, and he might be getting an ace. He's going to ace tag over time. Like, two more starts of just dominance. It's like, how could I just not do that? And it's the same thing. Casey Mize, we talked about, of course, Patrick Corbin, sure, whatever, had a birthday party. Carlos Carrasco survived, I guess, the Rangers. I don't want to do this. Maybe go six innings against the Mets. Kyle Bradish, unfortunate one here. Four innings, two earned runs, four hits, two walks, three Ks. One slider whiff. He threw too much of it in the zone. He didn't really have that nice location down in glove side. But he is resistant on the four-seamer, too, and that's good. And that's cool, but he does not get aces going to ace. He doesn't take that stuff forward, unfortunately, but we keep starting him. Aaron Brooks returned. Oh my gosh, he's back in the majors as his right-hander for the Oakland Athletics. It's been like since 2018 or something. And he went against the Astros, and he survived. Seven innings, 300 runs, 7 hits, one walk, five Ks. That's awesome. That's really cool. He gets Rocky Road next. So maybe that works. I mean, everything was just low. It was all low. He tried four-seamers up every so often. Nah, it was just low, and it worked. Props to him. He gets Rocky Road next. Maybe that works. It's a very deep stream. I'm not doing it. Pablo Lopez against the Yankees. 10 hits. Got singled out. 300 runs, 6.1 innings. This is essentially a very, very poor quality start. Zero walks, three Ks. It's, man, Lopez, you got to go into tier two now. Probably with Reagans, if Reagans doesn't have a dope start against the Athletics. Because it's been weird. It's been weird. The changeup curve, really the sweeper hasn't been as effective too. Four-seamer command hasn't been as pristine. It's a little bit weird. Keeps going back and forth. The Yankees are a really good offense right now, though, so understandably so. We just keep starting Pablo Lopez. Eliezer Hernandez, remember that name? Yeah, he's back. He's pitching for the Dodgers, apparently. Crazy, I know. Against the San Francisco Giants, they are trying, like, the Dodgers are just finding whoever the sixth man is every so often just to keep it stretched down so that Glasnow and Yamamoto stay healthy, essentially. And six innings, 300 runs, four hits, one walk, three Ks. Wow, a poor quality start. This is like, the Dodgers, how do you do this? He got the loss, though, so whatever. You can't be so jealous of the Dodgers. He is different. If you remember Eliezer Hernandez, you can probably imagine, oh, yeah, really dope slider, sometimes a dope changeup, and, like, a fastball that's not very good. Well, the fastball's still not very good. The changeup was fine, and the cutter is now there, and that's, eh. That's it. That's Eliezer Hernandez. Do not buy into this. I don't think he's even going to make another start. If he does, I'm not going in for that. You can blame it on the Giants if you want. Charlie Morton had a really good start with his curveball in the previous start. I'm like, please just be the transition into being really good. Nope. Did terribly. 300 runs in three innings, 76 pitches, five hits, three walks, four Ks. So that was clearly a Dennis. That is, it shows up and doesn't stick around like Dennis from 30 Rock. Yeah, sorry. You can move on from Charlie Morton. Lance Lynn, no thanks. Not very good. Joey Lucchesi was Fugazi, and that's not very good. We have Michael King and Martin Perez. Martin Perez was a Vargas rule before, and it ended, and now he got the Brewers, and it's still not good, and 900 runs in five innings, now he gets the Giants. No, we're not doing that. And Michael King is so frustrating. He killed it against the Dodgers, and then he gets Rocky Road, and then terrible. I will say, watching this one, not as bad as the line suggests. 5.1 innings of 600 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks. Ugh, super frustrating. If you want to call him a cherry bomb, fine. I'm still going to buy into Michael King, but maybe I'm just being stupid about it. Man, I think he's a good buy low. I don't think his stuff was better than the other clunkers that we saw. So that's baseball, Susan. All right, we're going to look at tomorrow's games now. Instead of today, you guys know everything about today. It's really just Nick Lodolo isn't going. It's Nick Martinez having an opener for the Reds instead. I don't think that's a very good one for you to do against the Dodgers, so you can just move on past that. Tomorrow's starting pitchers, you have Zach Wheeler, Tarik Skubal, Cole Reagans, Max Fried, Christian Scott. Yes, Christian Scott, he gets the Marlins, you're going to do that. That's above Luzardo against the Mets. And it's also above Freddy Peralta as he gets the Astros, and I know he's an ace right now, ace is going to ace, but his command has been weird, and honestly, Luzardo and Scott are just safer right now. Chris Bassett against the Rays and Paul Skeens against the Cubs. But the thing is, they're all auto starts. It doesn't matter if his ace is going to ace or not. Like, they're all auto starts. You're doing it. Yes, Paul Skeens, he should go for at least five innings because the Pirates want him to do that. Maybe it's like his debut, but that was his debut, and that's always weird and wonky. Okay, probable start two, you have Nestor Cortez, Brian Bello, John Means, Bryce Miller, and Andrew Heaney. These are all pretty clear. If you ask me, Bryce Miller gets the Orioles. I'm still going to do that. And Andrew Heaney is our stream pick against the Angels. A revenge game for him there. Andrew Heaney, a questionable start to your James Paxton could get a win against the Reds. Kyle Harrison gets Rocky Road. I think he's a cherry bomb, but Rocky Road at least gives him an opportunity. Kyle Gibson against the Red Sox. Maybe that's a Vargas rule, and he's been doing decently well, so do what you want to do. Tristan McKenzie, I don't believe this long term. He gets the Twins, and it's very volatile all around, so no thanks. And then you have Ryan Nelson against the Tigers. Maybe he has his cutter in this one, and it's a decent floor with the Tigers, so maybe that could work. His fastball release is very good, so that's also a questionable start. Do not start here. It's Hunter Brown against the Brewers. He's getting a start because Ronel Blanco is going to be missing some time. This is essentially Hunter Brown getting two starts in that place. You have Ryan Feltner against the Giants. And by the way, I don't want to do Hunter Brown. It's just too volatile. We don't know what he is. I know he had five innings of relief after Christian Javier, but I don't want to do it. Ryan Feltner against the Giants. It's in Oracle Park. Don't fall for this. Marlins in Pittsburgh were the other two starts he had on the road and was not good. Maybe it is good, but like, we can't do that. Semien Woods-Richardson had good command in this last outing. I don't know if that's real. And he gets the Guardians in Cleveland, and they hit home runs there. I don't want to do that. Jake Irvin just had a ridiculous start against the Dodgers, and now he gets the Phillies. I'm not going to do it. Tyler Anderson is a quality start play against the Rangers, even though it's the Rangers. So yeah, you should not really do that. Tyler Alexander against the Jays. Maybe there's a win there. Cal Hendricks gets the Pirates. Ugh. Whatever. Frankie Montas against the Dodgers. Ugh. Don't really want to do that. And Matt Waldron, don't trust a knuckleballer. Mike Clevenger, against the Yankees. And then Kyle Muller against the Royals. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for rating and reviewing this podcast. My name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go!
With Erlita, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erlita is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erlita may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erlita can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erlita is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erlita.com. CP43-9267-V1.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.